Welcome to the Shir Targum Parshas Vayeshev. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Sheila Siegel, memory of her parents, Shmuel Avram ben Arav David, Brindel Basruf Yosef Aryeh. Like all the Shir this week is also sponsored by Chayameh Aliza Mermelstein, in memory of his father, Yosef Shmuel Shtelka ben Yitzchak, and all the Neshama Shadav and Aliyah, Shasimot Shnachasura, and the Tzara Mitzvahs and Maisim Dovid, that the families are involved in. I wanted to focus tonight on the story which is told at the very end of the Sedra, namely the story of the Sara Mashkim, the Sara Ofim, the butler, the baker. We're told in Perek Mem, Vahi achar advarim ha'ela, came to pass after these events, Chatu Mashke Mitzrayim, Melech Mitzrayim v'ha'ofa, the mashke, the butler of the king of Egypt, and the ofa and the baker sinned ladoneyam lemelech Mitzrayim. They sinned to their master, the king of Egypt. What exactly did they do? So many of us are familiar with Rashi. Rashi writes, zenim sazgul yali kifirin shalom. Right. In the case of the butler, there was a fly that was found in the cup that he was going to bring to Pharaoh. V'zenim tzatzror, the gluskin shalom. And in the case of the baker, there was a pebble that was found in the bread that he was going to bring to the king. That's Rashi quoting from the Bereishis Rabba. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel tells a very different story over here. It happened after these things, these events. The ischaval neiman, and it was said, saying as follows. In other words, what we're about to hear is not necessarily the actual story, but the rumors about the story. The ischaval neiman, the rumor went around as follows. What's that? So srachu rav mazogayo de malka de Mitzrayim. That the butler of the king of Egypt and the baker had sinned. What had they done? This yo'atu lemir me samo demosa b'mechle uvemeshu b'mashkinim. They had plotted to put a poison, a deadly poison, in the food and drink of Paro, lemiktal l'ribon hom l'malko d'mitzorim, to kill their master, the king of Egypt. So whereas Rashi, again quoting the Bereishis Rabba, depicts what happened as a mistake, in other words, it doesn't sound like, you know, they're intentionally putting a pebble in the bread or a fly into the wine. Here, according to the Yonasan ben Uziel, he's recording a different Midrashic tradition that also comes from the Bereishis Rabba, that no, what they were accused of, at the very least, is plotting to kill the king. So it's a much more serious sort of thing that they're accused of. Now, it's only a rumor, which is probably the basis for the fact that they're not killed outright, and instead they're put into prison. Why are they put into prison? We need to do investigative work, you know, to figure out whether the rumor is actually true. And basically, they're sitting in prison pending the result of whatever investigation is going to be going on. Apparently, in ancient Egypt, you couldn't just get out of prison by giving a $50 bail or something like that. So they're sitting in prison, you know, waiting the results of the investigation, which was going to determine whether they're going to be put to death. I mean, it's insurrection, you know, if indeed the rumors turn out to be true, or presumably they could be exonerated. And you know, we know what the end of the story is for both the Sara Mashkim and the Sara Ofim. So we see how the Yonasan ben Uziel is going to explain that in a little bit. Okay, so they're both in the prison. And Pasukei Vayachalmu Chalom Shneim Ish Chalomo B'Layla Echad. They each dream a dream on one night. Ish Kefisron Chalomo. And each person dreams in accordance with the interpretation of his dream. Hamashkev ha'ofer shel ha'melech b'tzayim asher asum b'beis ha'sohan. What does it mean that each one dreams in accordance with the interpretation of his dream? If they knew the interpretation of the dreams, so then they wouldn't have anything to talk about with Yosef. So we know Rashi over here famously brings, kol echad cholam chalom hadama l'pisron ha'asim l'vo aleyem, that each one dreamt a dream that was a prophetic dream, right? A dream that was going to turn out similar to the to the actual outcome. And then in Pasuk K, a little bit earlier, he writes the midrasha, the midrashic interpretation of this pasuk based on brach and the gemara brachos. Kol echol cholam chalom shneim. Each of them dreamt a double dream. Shecholam es chalomo u'pisron chaveru. Each one dreamt their own dream, and they saw the interpretation of their friend's dream in their dream. This second midrashic interpretation is recorded as well by the Onus of the Zeal in Parak and Pasuk Hay. B'chalamu chilma tar v'yon, gevar chilme b'lay l'chad, gevar chilme u'fishron chilma d'chadre. Right, each one dreamt his dream and the interpretation of the dream of his fellow. Right, so that's brought into the story by the Onus of the Zeal as well. What's that? Yeah, in other words, each one dreamt their own dream, and whatever this means exactly, I don't know exactly what it means, but in other words, they recognized when the other person's dream was interpreted that the interpretation was true, because they were given the punchline, I guess, of whatever the other fellow's dream was. Okay, so they go to Yosef, they're very disturbed by what happened, and they each tell over their dreams, and it's here that the Targum of the Onus of the Zeal really elaborates to a very, very great extent in describing how Yosef interprets the dream. So let's take the dream first of the Tzar HaMashkim. He's the first one to say over his dream, the butler. And according to the simple pshat in the Pasuk, Perek Mem, Pasuk Yud Beis, Yomer Lo Yosef, Yosef says to the Tzar HaMashkim, Zep Yisrono, this is the interpretation of the dream, Shloshes Hasorigim, Shloshes Yomim Heim. The three branches that you saw in your dream represent 3 days. Ba'od Shloshes Yomim Yisofaro Es Roshecha V'ashimcha Al Kanecha. So in another 3 days, Sofaro is going to reinstate you. V'nosato Kos Paro B'yodo Kamishpat HaRishon Asher Yisom Ashkeo. You're going to once again start serving Paro again. Again, the simple pshat of the Pasuk is that the dream was relevant to the personal story of the Tzar HaMashkim, and that's it. Based on the Midrashim, the Yonos Eben Zio gives a much more elaborate understanding of what Yosef told the Tzar HaMashkim. Amar le Yosef, this is in Pasuk Yud Beis, Dein Sof Pushrona de Chilma. This is the interpretation of the dream that you dreamt. It's interesting, he uses the term Sof Pushrona de Chilma, the end of the interpretation of the dream. What do you mean the end of the interpretation of the dream? The interpretation of the dream. What's the beginning, middle, and an end? What is that relevant? So apparently the Yonos of the Zeal, as we're going to see, understands as follows. The dream was meant to be understood on 2 levels. The dream in the short term provided a prediction of what was going to happen in the future of the Tzar HaMashkim. Again, it's the Pasuk says, right? The starting point of everything has to be the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that he dreamt a dream that indicated that in 3 days he would be restored to his former position. That's the beginning of the dream. But there's also the end of the dream, the end of the interpretation of the dream. Because the end of the interpretation of the dream, as we're going to see, is not just about the Tzar HaMashkim, it's about Jewish history. And that's the end of the interpretation, meaning the long-reaching implications of this dream. Let's see what he has to say. Tlosa matso gaya. The three pourings of the drink. Tlosa avos alma hinu. They represent the three avos. Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. Demin b'nei b'neion asidil mishtavdo b'mitzrayim. And the descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are going to be subjugated in Egypt. Betina uvelivna uvechol pulchana ba'anpei bara. They will be, as the pasuk says in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, they will be subjugated. Vecholmer uvelvenu uvechol avoda shabasada. They will have to be involved in cement and bricks and all kinds of work out in the field. Umibasa kedein misparkin al yad tlos ra'ayin. But then the Jewish people are going to be redeemed by three shepherds. They're going to be three great heroes, three shepherds, three leaders of the Jewish people who are going to redeem the Jewish people. Who are these three leaders? So the Yosef ben Uziel himself does not indicate that, but the interpretations written on the Targum Yosef ben Uziel indicate that the three great shepherds are Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, right? The three siblings who are going to be instrumental in taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. V'di almarit, and that which you said, the sevis yasin vayo, that you took the grapes, v'atzaris yason l'kosa de paro, you squeezed them into the cup of paro, v'yahavis yaskosa l'yadot de paro, and then you gave the cup to the hand of paro, he paila de rugza, this is the cup of anger, the cup of punishment, the osid paro shase v'ikva, that Paro is going to end up drinking in the end of things. In other words, when Klal Yisrael are taking out of Mitzrayim, Paro, so to speak, is going to be given a cup of punishment. He's going to be punished for his role in subjugating the Jewish people. We know throughout the Nevi'im, Yirmiyahu and others refer to punishment very often as being forced to drink a kosatar ela, a poisonous cup, a cup of punishment, which will represent that the person is being punished for the terrible things that they did. So the symbolism of the butler, the Sayyar HaMashkim, giving this cup to Paro is symbolic of a future time where a future Paro is going to be forced to drink a cup of punishment. When is that going to be? When Klal Yisrael are taking out of Mitzrayim, and Paro is going to be punished. Ve'at rav mazogayo tekabel agar tov, al chilmach tov dechalamto. And you, O butler, you are going to receive a good reward because of this good dream that you dreamt. In other words, the dream is only secondarily really about you. The dream is really about the future of the Jewish people. But since you are the messenger to bring this dream of what's going to happen to the Jewish people, that we're going to be in Mitzrayim, but we're going to be redeemed from Mitzrayim, and you know that Paro is going to be punished, since you were chosen from Shamayim to be the messenger through which this idea is meant to be conveyed, that's why things are going to work out well for you. And the interpretation of the dream means as follows for you. Again, the three branches, plus a yom in hinu l'perkanach. You are going to be redeemed in 3 days from now, just like the three branches that you saw in your dream. Right? So that's why the Sayyar HaMashkim ultimately gets off the hook, you know, is redeemed, because his dream represented the punishment of Paro. One of the things that's not clear in the story itself, in the Psukim, is why the Sayyar HaMashkim lives and the Sayyar HaOfim dies. Right? In other words, if it's indeed the case that both of them messed up and both of them gave inferior products to Paro, one with a fly in the cup, one with a pebble in the bread. All right, so they both messed up. So whatever punishment one gets, the other one should get. It's not clear from the Psukim why the Sayyar HaMashkim lives and the Sayyar HaOfim dies.
But don't we say that one was an honest mistake and one was gross negligence?
Right. Okay. So you could explain it, and Mufashim do explain that way. In other words, you know, the fact that the fly fell in at the last minute, right before it was brought to Paro, what do you want from the butler, right? The fact that the pebble was baked into the bread, well, that, like you say, it's gross negligence, right? So again, that is a way of explaining what's going on over here. But in the psukim themselves, it's not abundantly clear why one should be, you know, deserving of death and the other one should be restored. Here, at least, we see that because the Sayyar HaMashkim is the vehicle for bringing such a beautiful nevuah, as it were, about what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael, that's a sign that there's something good about this person in some way or another.
What made him even have a dream about Klal Yisrael? Normally, dreams take place after day's thoughts, perhaps. What did he have to do with Klal Yisrael at all?
Right. So I guess Yosef recognized that it was a message to him. In other words, the Ribbono Shel Olam was sending a message to Yosef using the Sar HaMashkim. In other words, there was enough about this dream that convinced Yosef, who was obviously, you know, talented at interpreting dreams, that there's something here. You know, this is not just that he had a bad day and that resulted in the dream that he had. So that's the dream of the Sar HaMashkim. Comes the Sar HaOfim and says, you know, what about me? So here we find the following. Pasuk Tezayin says, Vayar Sar HaOfim, Kitov Pasar, right? And so the baker saw that Yosef had interpreted well. Vayomer El Yosef, Afani B'chalomi, so then he says to Yosef, let me tell you about my dream, right? The Dionysus of Menuzio writes as follows, V'chamo Rav Nachtomi Arum Yo'us Pashar, The baker saw that Yosef had interpreted in a nice fashion. Like we said before, how did he know that it was a correct interpretation? Well, it was a pleasing interpretation. Yeah, but you know, so this guy in prison says that he's going to come back to his post another 3 days' time. I mean, who's to say that that's correct, right? But remember, according to the Medrash, what the Yonah Sam Ben-Uziel had quoted. Each one saw the interpretation of his friend's dream. So the Sar HaOfim knew that Yosef had interpreted not just nicely, but correctly, that the interpretation he gave was correct. Vishari l'malala b'lishon rugza. So he began to speak to Yosef b'lishon rugza in a manner of speaking that was angry and belligerent. Why was that? Right, so it would seem that the Sar HaOfim was perturbed by the fact that the Sar HaMashkim was going to be rewarded. Right, and again, the Yonasan ben Uziel is giving us a little hint over here. What accounts for the difference in the fates of the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim? Why should the Sar HaMashkim, you know, be restored and the Sar HaOfim be hung? The Sar HaOfim couldn't bear to see the other guy getting something good, right? What do you care? Let him get something good, let you get something good, right? There was something jealous about the nature of the Sar HaOfim, where hearing that the Sar HaMashkim was going to get something good bothered him tremendously, right? So he spoke to Yosef in a very belligerent kind of way, and again, this is setting the stage for the fact that the Sar HaOfim is not going to come out from this story in a good way, right? In other words, be happy for your friend. When something good happens to your friend, don't be upset that somehow, you know, he's getting something. You know, why should he get something? You know, that's the lesson that we take away from the Yonasan ben Uziel.
Is the word af?
Oh, very, very good. Yeah. Right? Af ani b'chalomi. He's making the drasha based on the word af. You know, af ani. Af is anger. Right? So he begins speaking af. You know, he begins speaking in an angry way. That's where the Yonasan ben Uziel is getting this interpretation from the word af. Excellent, very, very good.
Why wouldn't he think that if his buddy got positive response, why would he get the same response as his buddy before he's angry?
Right. So again, you see,
the fact that he got a negative report, then he could say, why him, not me?
Right, but you see how perverse the attitude of the Sar HaOfim is. It's not even about how come him and not me. It's how come him, right? Even if I end up getting a good response from Yosef, a chutzpah that he should get something also, right? It's obviously a terrible, terrible midah, you know, to have such an outlook. But there are people in life who have that kind of outlook, you know. Something good happened to that other guy. Oh, how could something good happen? Baruch Hashem, you're a good person. You can't even imagine such people. But there are such people out of the world, you know, that they see somebody else getting something good. It bothers them. Not just because they don't have it. It bothers them that the other person should have. Right? So that's the way the Yonasan ben Uziel is interpreting the Sar HaOfim. Af ani b'chalomi. Right? I'm angry that a chutzpah, that the Sarah Mashkim should get something happen to him that's good? I'm not happy. So Yosef responds, of course, that the Shloshes HaSalim, the three baskets that you, the baker, see in your dream, also represent 3 days, but here it's not 3 days until your, you know, restoration, it's 3 days until your execution, right? But here what Yosef says according to the Yonasan ben Uziel. Vasev Yosef v'omer. So Yosef answered and he said, Pasuk Yud Ches, Dein hu pushrone. This is the interpretation of your dream. Tlosa salaya, tlosa shibudayo hinun. The three baskets represent the three types of subjugation. The asidin beis Yisrael l'mishtabado. That the Jewish people are going to be subjugated while they're in Egypt. A basket is something that you use for work. Right? The butler saw giving a cup to Paro. A cup represents, again, as we saw before, the punishment that Paro was going to get. But you were carrying three baskets. Baskets are things you use for work. There are three types of work that the Jewish people are going to experience in Mitzrayim. Again, we mentioned them before. Chomer, Levenim, V'chol Avodah, Shebasadeh. Right, the mortar, the bricks, and all of the work that's in the field. And you're basically seeing an image, not of the redemption of the Jewish people, but of the subjugation of the Jewish people. If you're seeing the subjugation of the Jewish people, that means something bad for you. You are a messenger to convey the subjugation of the Jewish people. That speaks poorly of the kind of person you are. Right? Va'ant Rav Nachtomaya to Kabbal Agar Bish Al Chilmach Bish the Chalamt. You, the baker, are going to receive a poor reward, a bad reward, for the terrible dream which you dreamt. And then there's a fascinating line in the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Upashar le Yosef Yasma Dishvar Be'enoi. Yosef explained the dream for the baker in a way that was fitting in Yosef's eyes. And he went on to say, Dein loch pushrone, this is the interpretation of the dream as it pertains to you. Tlosa salaya, tlosa yomin hinun lekat loch. The three baskets that you saw represent the 3 days that are left until you're going to be executed. The implication of the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel is in line with an idea which is brought out in the ninth parak of the Gemara Brachos, that sometimes the one rendering the interpretation has the ability to shape the interpretation.
You pay him off.
What's that?
You pay him off.
Right, and that's the whole Gemara with Barhedia, you know, the Gemara in Haroah, the ninth parak of Brachos. Depending on how you pay the interpreter, sometimes that leads to a better or worse interpretation. Right, the Gemara tells the story, the Bayan Rava, again, you look over there in the Gemara. So here the Yosef ben Uziel basically implies as follows. What led to the baker, meeting such a terrible end? Because Yosef chose to interpret the dream as a sign of the execution of the baker. Now, taken very literally and narrowly, that's a very, at some level, it's a little disturbing, maybe a lot disturbing. You know, so in other words, Yosef sent the guy to the gallows? That's what happened over here? In other words, had Yosef not said anything, the baker would have just gone back to baking and maybe switched lines, you know, going into pastries or something like that, you know. But, you know, he went to the gallows because Yosef gave him this interpretation, right? So it seems like the Yonasan ben Uziel is following up on the indications that we have already, Al Pi Medrash, that the baker's not a good guy. You know, in other words, the stinginess that we saw before in the baker's reaction. I don't want the butler to have something good happen to him. You know, he's a kind of character, personality, who's a terrible personality. So Yosef, yes, adds these very harsh words to the interpretation, but it flows from the terrible character that the baker already possesses, which we see earlier in the Psukim.
How about the birds?
Yeah, right. No, I mean, there's what to interpret in the dream itself. But again, if you wanted to say something nice about the dream, you could probably, you know, figure out a different interpretation based on the dream and the birds and the baskets and, you know, everything else that's involved over there.
But we see in the end that that the butler was also his father, Russia.
Right.
The one he forgot, you know, say.
Right.
And he Dafka, even when he remembered him, he introduced him as very negative.
Right. Either of them were savory characters, but I guess the baker was worse, relatively speaking. So, again, let's just finish off with the following. We started off the Perek, quoting the Onos HaMenuziel, who said that the Sar Mashkim, the Sar HaOfim, were not imprisoned because of some error. They were imprisoned because there were rumors about the fact that they were looking to assassinate Paro, you know, and they were basically being held in prison until such time that, you know, that things could be established. So at the end of the Perek, we find the following in the Yonos ben Uziel, right? Pasuk Chaf Aleph in the Chumash says, "Vayoshev v'sar hamashkim amashkehu." Paro restored the sar hamashkim to his former post by Yiten Hakos Hakaf Paro, and he delivered the cup into the hands of Paro. Says the Yonos ben Uziel, "Va'asev yosrav mazugay al mizgei." Right? He restored Paro restored the butler to his post, and he adds the words. The ishtakach delohavo be'eto hahi, right? Because after the investigation, it turned out that the butler, in fact, was not involved in plotting to kill Paro. So in other words, the investigation cleared him. Okay, so once you're cleared, you're restored to your former post. I mean, I think the Yonos HaMenuziel is easier to understand than the Bereishis Rabba, which is brought in Rashi. If the Sar HaMashkim had really messed up, you know, if he had allowed a zvuv, a fly, to be in the cup of Paro, okay, it's perhaps a little questionable that they just restore him and put him back in his former post without some demotion or something like that, some being reprimanded or something of the like. According to the Onos HaMenuziel, he's restored to his former post because it turns out he did nothing wrong, right? You know, they cleared him in the investigation. In contrast to the baker, Pasuk Chaf Beis, V'yasrav Nachtomit Slav, they hung the baker, D'ya'et L'miktalei, because it turned out that he actually had plotted to kill the king. Right? So the punishment for plotting to kill the king, understandably, is execution. So, you know, the respective sentences, as very, very different as they are understandable according to the Onos ben Uziel, that we're not dealing with an honest error or something of that nature. We're really dealing with an investigation into whether they were plotting to kill the king or whether that was just simply a rumor. Wish everybody a good Shabbos, and I guess in anticipation already of Freilich and Chanukah. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch.